and welcome to Shield Up, your Patreon exclusive podcast from RKG. My name is Gav Murphy, and today I'm joined by Rory Powers and Daniel Krupa.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing, boys?
Nice. Ooh, doing good.
Before we get started, because this is the month of spookiness, we want to do a Halloween spook Shield Up special on October 30th. So we're asking you guys to send in your scariest stories and problems, spooky minging or fair plays, maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe. Send those along with other problems you want to bit.ly/shieldup. Maybe chuck a little Halloween caps at the beginning of the message just so I know which ones are Halloween and not, because that'll help me a little bit. And then maybe we'll read them out on the special one.
That'd be a fun episode.
It will. Have you got scary stories that you want to tell?
Maybe. Well, if I know what's happening now, I might.
I've told it once before on like IGN podcast. The scariest thing that ever happened to me. I'll have a little think.
Yeah. We can.
I've got stuff, but that's the thing. I don't know if I've said it now or not. Like, we had one guy message recently be like, "That's like the third time you've told that story on something. You told it on," and it was like an episode of this, an episode of Regular Features, and it was like, "Dude, come on, like." That's not my fault.
That's not our fault if you're really into the extended universe.
But yeah, he's quite shitty about it, actually. But yeah, that's why I blocked him. Anyway, we've got some good stuff today.
Ooh.
Really good. This is a nice one. It says, hi there, boys. Bit of an update plus a story question for your good selves.
Ooh.
So back in the before times, I emailed in asking about advice for motivating myself to go to the gym and lose weight after my wife told me I was the biggest I've ever been. I think one of our bits of advice was to get rid of the wife. But
we didn't say that, did we?
I mean,
it's pretty grim.
If she woke him up and said, "You're the biggest you've ever been."
What's that? Get rid of her? Leave 9 stone immediately.
Exactly. Boom, gone. Boom, done.
Maybe she's doing it in like a nice way. She's being like,
I don't think there's a way of doing that in a nice way.
I was like, I just want you to know, you are massive. Meant,
like, rep.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, you're looking hench.
No, like, you're the biggest you've ever been. Like, those people talking
oh,
about.
Oh, bigging him up. Yeah.
That's not what she was saying. And that's why we told him to get rid of her. So, shortly after, I also received a diagnosis for mild sleep apnea. And the doctor's advice, besides a sleep mask, was you're fat, lose weight.
Hmm.
Hopefully, he didn't use those words.
Doesn't sound very medical.
No. It's like, also, like, did your wife say, oh, call him around and be like, yeah, this is a doctor friend of mine? Yeah. Like, he's just wearing a white coat and he had like a child's stethoscope on.
Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
The diagnosis is just pig noises.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's not as appropriate. Yeah.
So I signed up for Joe Wicks's 90-day plan, have since completed it, and moved on to the brutal graduate scheme and have stopped my terrible snoring, which is great.
Wow, congrats.
Just want to say thanks for the support and the advice, and I can totally see where the boys were coming from in terms of video game-like progression. When I can now get through 45 seconds of push-ups, where previously I could barely get through 30 seconds of push-ups on my knees. That's amazing, mate. That's really good.
Excellent.
Like, especially with push-ups and stuff like that, like, that's one of the things that I feel like comes generally from practice, and you do more, and then suddenly you think back to the time where you barely do one, and now you're just like smashing them out. I think stuff like that is the awesome gamification parts of like fitness and stuff. I love it.
Good for you.
On a completely unrelated note, have any of you ever had a hero moment where you helped someone in need or did something without thinking that looking back on it might have been dangerous to yourself? Then he's got a story here about how great he is. Says, I was once in Paris with my parents and wife. Maybe he was trying to get rid of her in Paris, going to dump her in Paris. And we were getting on the metro to take us to the Eurostar terminal.
And I pushed her onto the tracks.
It's like, yeah, thin guy couldn't do that. As we got on, a guy falls into my dad, like people do when they've never been on a metro or underground before and don't hold on to anything.
Right.
Knocking him into another man. Oh. But he does it just as the train doors close, not when it starts accelerating, which seemed a bit off to me. He apologizes, as does my dad. My dad then checks his pockets and his face goes white as a sheet and declares, my wallet's gone. I turn, and like a scene in a Bourne film, I see the guy that'd fallen onto disappear between two people and start moving down the train way faster than anyone should be. Without thinking, I drop my rucksack and hand luggage and start moving down the train as fast as I can.
I love it. I'm going to add some beats here.
Eyes fixed firmly on the thief's back. He then stops in the next carriage along, thinking he's got away with it, but then turns and locks eyes with me. And clearly, I had a more murderous face look on my face than I'd intended, because he looked about as afraid as my dad had done 30 seconds earlier. I marched directly up to him and said in French, "Sir, the wallet, please." He feigns ignorance with a typical French shoulder shrug. I don't know what that is. And I asked it again slightly more loud so the rest of the carriers can hear. "Sir, the wallet, please.
S'il vous plaît.
Le wallet." He then hands me...
We can speak French. Yeah, it's easy, man.
He then hands me my dad's wallet and attempts to claim that it fell on the floor. I give him a look. "Yeah, whatever. Don't bullshit me, mate." Was that, I'm not sure if that was the look or the words.
I hope he said that in French as well.
Yeah. And turned on my heel and made my way back to my stunned parents and wife. Luckily, we weren't on the metro much longer, as the next stop was Eurostar anyway, wherein I definitely needed to sit down to get rid of the adrenaline that was coursing through me at that point. So what do you boys think? Would you have done the same? Have you ever done anything similar? I've told the story to many of my French friends, all of whom have said they were surprised that I wasn't shanked, which when I look back on it was a definite possibility. Thanks again for all the great work you do. I'm so happy that Retry Sekiro is back. I've even started from the beginning again myself. P.S. I've never actually been in an airport, but I did once have to spend 12 hours in Paris alone. I don't think it's the same trip. With no money and nothing but a pack of cigarettes. Turns out about 5 hours of being famished, your body just stops reminding you that you're hungry unless you get on with your life. P.S. I'm shanking whilst writing this.
He's like, I just stay there with nothing for 12 hours. Luckily, I picked up a really handy way to steal wallets off a train. Just falling into people. Fair play to him.
I don't think... I'm trying to think of... Other than getting into fights, like sticking up for people, which is just lots of that. But other than that, I don't think I've ever like chased a thief through.
Something kind of badass.
I would, like if I knew what was going on. But I think the worst.
I'd like to like do a little, like just a little sneaky trip. Like if they were coming past, you knew what was going on. Trip.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah.
Just like pick up the bag. There you go.
Here you go, m'lady.
There you go, m'lady.
I stopped.
Mademoiselle, if you're in Paris.
Exactly. You know?
That's very good.
You got live translate.
I stopped a homeless man from stealing a bike from inside our flat before.
That's good.
That was kind of wild because he had like a little knife blade thing on him. But it was what? Like.
Jesus.
But it was like a Swiss Army knife thing and he pulled it out because he thought.
You get the quarter screw out by
I think he thought I was going to be really afraid by it. But I was like, I'm just going to take this bike off you now. Because I saw him do it and I tried to stop him loads and then. Yeah, it was horrible. So like I was in my flat car park, which you guys have seen, and there's loads of bikes now up there. And I saw him like walking through the car park in like a high-vis jacket.
Yeah.
So I went over to him and I was like, "Are you all right, mate?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm the porter." And I was like, "Oh, we don't have a porter." And he was like, "Oh, I mean, I'm lost. And I was like, "Okay, cool. Well, it's out this way.
I'm a porter in a different building."
Yeah. So I was like, it's out this way, mate. I'll take you up now. And he was like, "Okay, yeah." And then he was like, "Okay, I got it. And he went to walk out. So I walked around the corner so you would think that I was gone, but I waited. So I was literally in the darkness. Saw him come.
Perched on a pillar just watching like Batman.
Yeah. Saw him come out. He's the knight. And so what he'd done was he'd cut a bike's lock, like it was like one of the flimsy ones.
Yeah.
And he went back round and he picked up the bike and started like, and went to take it out. And I was like, "I'm going to go get him." So I was like, "Excuse me, mate, can you bring that bike back?" But he was already like gone through the gates. I was like, "Excuse me, mate, that's not your bike." So I was like, I went over to him, like grabbed him. By this point, we're in the middle of like, we're on the pavement outside my flat. So I was like, and he just wouldn't let it go. And he was like, just give it to me. And then he pulled out this little Swiss Army knife thing. So what I did was, while he was doing that, I just dragged him into the middle of the road because a police car was coming.
Oh, I remember this.
That's smart.
So I just dragged him to the middle of the road and the police car obviously saw him and he just fucking ran. But when I spoke to the policeman about it, the policeman was just like, "Oh yeah, don't do that. Just let it go." I was like, "No, that's not fair because..."
I wonder if from their experience, like, there's another version of that story where you get stabbed.
Yeah.
And they just go, "It's not."
Yeah.
Maybe that's
yeah.
what they're thinking of.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's always a tough...
People are unpredictable, though. Like, people doing stuff like that, you just don't know what they're going to do, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Part of growing up is the depressing realization that the police don't really care about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, I've had my phone stolen. My brother's girlfriend had her car stolen. They couldn't give a shit. They're just like, we'll keep an eye. We'll, it might turn up.
Yeah.
We're not going to go look but for it. We're not going to like.
I think not just like they don't give a shit. I think it's more it's like
prioritizing this.
When you grow up with police, you grow up with like, you know, watching Fireman Sam or you watch that stuff. And that is like, someone robs something, you call the police go get it back. But then you realize that is, no, that doesn't happen. That barely happens.
Absolutely not, like, yeah.
You basically, all you need is a crime reference number so you can claim on your insurance and that's it.
Yeah, that's like, literally the only thing, yeah.
It's bad, man, really bad.
I need to be going out and hunting for more heroic moments now.
You should realize like, some people really do not give a shit. The other day, in my flats, which is a small block of flats, packages are going missing.
Oh, no.
And there is video cameras downstairs, so we requested the footage in our block. And it was just a Just Eat delivery guy.
Just picking him up.
Just walked in. He looks directly into the camera. He knows there's a camera there. And as he's delivered the food, he's walking out. He just picks up a bunch of Amazon boxes and takes them out with him.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's insane.
And it's so bad because it's like, mate, you're working for a company that where it's very easy to identify who you are, given the time and the date.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's bizarre.
Especially like an Uber driver driving like his car through your house and be like, well, I know that is.
I'm sure it tells you the name of your delivery driver.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So, what an idiot.
That's pretty
It's
nice.
So funny because I've seen the pictures. He's just like, I'm going to take it still. And also, the Amazon bot, such a lucky dip. It could be any old shite. Is it worth it? It could be literally have been like a...
Yeah.
If he picked up mine from the day, it would have been HDMI to mini HDMI cable. Is that worth losing your job for? Yeah.
Absolutely not. So wait, so you were allowed to request the footage because it's been happening in our building where people are basically... someone is just ripping them open.
Yeah, so like, someone in my block requested it and then they dropped the images into our private Facebook group for the building.
What? Because we have CCTV in ours, but our building managers say you have to go through the police to be able to get it.
Nah, they just gave it us.
That's wild.
I don't know what is the right one. Maybe they're just doing it. I don't know. But it's just that it just shows you some people just don't give a shit.
Yeah, just don't think at all. That's crazy.
But yes, well done. You absolute hero. This is a really nice message. And it's just, I just want to read it out because it's lovely. It says, hi lads, Primordial Slug here. Not a problem. Just wanted to let you know that you mean more than you know to a lot of us. Over the past 4 years, me and my wife have been going through IVF only to reach a realization that children is simply not ever going to be an option for us. We started the process while you were still playing Dark Souls 3 and we've continued to try even throughout lockdown. And he couldn't even go to the hospital with her. For the past number of years, you've been a positive in my week when everything else has been pretty shit. So when you just had to stop it, it hit me pretty hard. Your boys being back together has really made a difference to me, and I just want to let you know that. Thanks for all you do. I can't wait to see boys next for after RKG.
Oh, that's a lovely message.
How sweet
is
that?
Oh my god,
that's really nice.
Thank you so much.
Like, I had a friend who went through like troubles with IVF and stuff like that. It's such a hard.
It's really expensive, and also there's like limited times you can do it, so much pressure on it as a thing, isn't there?
Yeah, it's awful. I was going to say as well, there's a really, really brilliant documentary that you guys should watch. Speaking to these people, but also you. It's a Welsh documentary, but there is subtitles, and it's on iPlayer, so anyone can watch it. But it's called Chdi Via IVF, and it's about like this Welsh singer, and she's brilliant, and she's quite young. She's like my age, which I'm still young. She made this documentary. It was like, she just didn't realize, she'd heard of IVF and she'd heard of all this different stuff, but she just didn't realize what it was really. And she was having trouble having a child. So she was just like, I'm going to do this. And then she was like, I want to make something with it because she's a creative person. And I think she was just like, I just didn't understand how hard it was and what it was going to cost and what it was going to take and stuff like that. And she was just like, all these people that when they were like, oh yeah, I'm going through IVF. And you're just like, yeah, sweet. And like, give them a thumbs up. Like, good luck with it all. See you in a bit with a baby. And she's just like, I just didn't realize that it was like so much of it was just like chance.
It's
so much of
it
was like,
you know,
absolutely.
It increases chances. Because I think, I was speaking to someone about it recently. I think I could be mistaken, but if there's something like you can get like one or two free on the NHS.
Right.
And then beyond that, you've got to pay for it yourself. It is, you know, it's £3,000-£5,000 at a time, and you know, there's no guarantee.
It's hard, man. It's awful. But yeah, lovely documentary. But thank you so much for sending that in there. That's just really, really nice. I just wanted to read that out. This one says, hey, boys, I'm struggling with coming to terms with a prestige theory. I'm sure you've come across it before, but briefly, I have never come across this before either. So this is a guy who's watched The Prestige and found some mad prestige theory that he wants to run by us.
Run by the pros? Okay. Mm,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Briefly, it suggests that Tesla's cloning machine never actually worked at all. And in fact, the scenes where we see it working beyond a shadow of a doubt are all lies. As, this is the only interesting bit of it, as they occur in the context of Angier's recounting and or journal. So it's like, I know obviously two things happen in the movie, which is like, completely throw you off whack with the narrator. So you cannot trust the narrator because they're reading from two different notebooks and those notebooks exist to be able to trick the other one. Yeah. So that conceit is already established.
What are you watching? A visualization of an unreliable written narrative.
Exactly, yeah. So, and because that's already established in the film, that's obviously where this comes in here. So he says, instead, he would have made use of a double to pull off the trick, and the clones in the tanks at the end, of which we can only see one clearly, would have been wax replicas. Obviously, this theory is mad, but I find that having to argue that a cloning machine could exist is even madder. I like that it adds another layer to it and fits with the films and magic's themes of deception. Anyway, I'm hoping the discussion of some prestige nutters might provide me some clarity. Signed, Colorado Alley Boy. It's very funny. It can't be right. I do like that it exists, and I do understand why it's there, but...
I like it, but I don't. Yeah,
I mean, it can exist as a theory.
It can exist,
and
as
you
a
can
theory,
make
a
reasonably compelling case for it. I don't. I think some of that rests on at the end that you're saying that it exists in our world.
Yeah,
which I think one of the best things about it is the fact that there is this science that they don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it's so often quoted, the Arthur C. Clarke magic and technology quote, but that's kind of what they do. They have this
absolutely
super advanced bit of technology that appears like magic.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I just don't get with some people, where some people just go, no, cloning machine, bullshit.
Because also the films you're watching are a form of realism. They're not fucking naturalism where it's 3 hours of someone just talking and just like,
yeah,
like knocking over a drink or having a cough.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not fun fiction.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't mind it as much because the cloning machine is teed up in a very like real world
absolutely,
scientific
yeah.
way. If it was like, instead of a cloning machine, it was like, here's a spell you can cast. Ooh. Even though it
opens
though
up another dimension.
Kind of
and then.
They're both kind of
Tesla
magic.
Tesla is established as this technological wizard.
Yeah.
Who's this kind of bridge between two worlds.
I
like all kind of theories that read at the edges of stories.
Yeah, I don't mind it
and
at
all.
And
if you can make a case... It's cool and it's fun. Oh, I didn't tell you what I bought the other day.
What'd you buy?
A clone machine.
I bought. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was dead.
The real group is actually at home right now.
I haven't got it working yet, but the guy who sold it to me assures me it works. I bought. I was just searching The Prestige on eBay, and I bought. They made an X amount of them in Japan.
Oh wow!
Is a program. Like a beautiful Japanese program for the movie that they gave out at screenings in Tokyo.
That's cool.
And it's got this original Japanese poster on the front. And inside, there's just like features on all the actors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
I love that you were just on eBay searching The Prestige.
Well, The Prestige, and I went filtered by like highest price to lowest because I was like, is there just a really nice poster or something?
Yeah.
Or like a theatrical one I could buy? And then it was like not very expensive, but it was like 30 quid or something.
Yeah.
It's just a Japanese program. That'd be really nice.
I just want an old-timey magic.
Those would be also like, be great bookends.
Yeah.
The two Borden doors.
That's all I want. That's the thing, is like when all these, because obviously Tenet has just come out, so everybody, I guess every single time now that Christopher Nolan has a new film, every single website is like, we're ranking Christopher Nolan's thing.
Find some of those lists.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I open up the article, see where Prestige is, and then buy how high it is.
At the bottom.
Yeah. Decide how high.
Still haven't seen 10 yet.
Have a look and then decide whether or not I want to read the article based on how high the Prestige is up in it. Mm. Like, if it's underneath a couple, he's like, get the fuck out of here, man. Underneath Dunkirk. Shut up. That's insane. All right, this is lovely. Hi, boys. Little pup date for you. He said pup date for your first. I was the slug who wrote back in autumn last year asking for help naming my dog. In the end, we went with a Cornish name, Jory, which is also pretty close to Rory. Mm. So I like to think there's a tenuous link to RKG there. I've put the odd picture in the cute Pet Picks Discord channel, amazing channel on Discord, so you might have caught a little glimpse of him there as well. He's soon coming up to his first birthday on 26th of September, and happy birthday as well to Ramon as well for the other week. Mm. Naturally, it's got me thinking about how life has changed since getting a dog. That brings me to a question for you after this ramble. It's fair to say that when we first got Jory, it was pretty tough for my wife and I. Jory sounds like a policeman has stopped you. And he's like, what's your name?
Yeah.
Jory Rowers. it's fair to say when we first got Jory, it was pretty tough for my wife and I. Although we thought we prepared and were ready, we definitely really struggled mentally as we adjusted to the new responsibility and expectations of having a puppy. And then we both felt like we should be enjoying it more and having the best time ever with our puppy.
Yep.
And the reality was that we were finding everything really tough.
Yep.
Dealing with seeing other happy puppy owners on social media didn't help either.
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
Everything is covered in shit.
It's absolute bullshit that.
And even though we know that's a curated version, we were both feeling pretty overwhelmed and anxious. Luckily, we knew we both loved Rory and that with hard work, training, and time, things would get better. But I'd be lying if I didn't say we had some difficult and teary conversations about whether we could deal with it at all. I just wanted to share this as I feel like it's a safe community to do so. And even though we definitely struggled early on, things have got loads better and we love the little beauty.
Just then you said Rory, not Jory.
Oh, really?
We should clip that out and put that on social.
So we know it was hard, but we love Rory, even though he shits everywhere.
He's shitting everywhere, but we really grown to love the little guy.
I wanted to ask if you have been in a similar situation to this where your expectations of an experience was wildly different to the reality.
Yeah. Getting a puppy.
Did you struggle on in the hope things might improve or did you do anything productive to improve the situation? Also, what's the most embarrassing thing a pet of yours has ever done? Just before Christmas, Jory took his first trip to the pub and did a big poo on the floor soon as he walked in and the smell cleared half the pub.
Oh,
fortunately, the landlord saw the funny side of it and at least we got served quicker. Love the return of Retry and you all did an amazing job during lockdown keeping us entertained. Big love to you all. P.S. I'm not wanking whilst writing this, but Jory has a spunky willy right now.
Ugh.
So he's probably just had a quick hump against his bed.
Oh, I've never seen Rory. I've never seen little Rory.
I'd like to hope
willy.
Not.
You've never seen Rory Spunky Willy?
Although when I look at the files, he's left his camera on for another hour.
Rory Spunky Willy sounds like a really, really bad like post
Bad kids
band.
Book. Yeah, really.
That's what I was going to say, like a kid's book as well.
like George's like Marvelous Medicine.
Rory Spunky Willy.
Williams Wish Wellingtons.
We've got the episode title. So that's
there you go. And we got a social
that's
clip.
Absolutely fine.
It's better for a little puppy to have a poo in a pub because it's hard to be mad at a little puppy.
Yeah.
I totally understand what they're saying. So I was speaking to someone outside my flats last night who just got a dog.
Right.
And their dog was going crazy last night. It was 6 months old, beautiful little cross dog.
Mm.
And they're going exactly through what I did 6 months ago, where when I first got Ramen, I felt really guilty because I was like, this is fucking hard work. And I knew it'd be hard work, and I wanted to do the whole thing. And I always wanted to have a puppy and have a dog and do the whole thing from birth. And there was times where I was like, I've made a massive mistake.
Yeah.
And I felt really guilty, and I was like, should I get rid of him? I did think that once or twice because it was just like getting up in the night and he was just like, I don't think he was making any progress.
Yeah.
And then like 6 months, 7 months in, it just started getting really easy.
Yeah.
And he became more of a dog.
Yeah.
And I know you guys don't see him lows and when he sees you, like gets really excited. But when he's just me, he's more like Coco where he just goes and chills out in the house and, you know, he's toilet trained now and he's just like a dog and it's like fine.
Yeah.
Those first 4 months, you think it's going to be this thing, and you see all the pictures and stuff. And I wasn't naive to think it would be exactly
no,
that.
No, of course not. Yeah,
but you're like, I am cleaning diarrhea off his arse at 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost like, because like.
Well, that made us closer.
Yeah, most dogs are like cuter as puppies. Like most animals are cuter when they're baby versions. Like you almost want to like. Go, right, I want the dog, but I want it in the puppy bit. Like, obviously, that doesn't happen, does it?
But science just isn't there yet.
Yeah, no.
But also, like, it's very cute, but you haven't bonded yet.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, it's my dog, and I love him, and he's cute.
Yeah.
But you're like, I don't really know him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he is.
He doesn't even know what he is.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I feel I can read and understand what he wants more.
So yeah, absolutely. Easier. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but what else is like that?
I think
reality.
With that, definitely. Alton Towers?
Yes.
but yeah, I think like that's the thing. Is like I think a lot of people don't realize how hard pets are.
And his dogs are big.
Yeah.
Demand.
Especially like we've had a couple of things recently where like people we've know have got dogs and they're just like constantly posting on Twitter about it as well, being like, is this normal? Is this right? And just like, just shut up. Just
feel it out.
Yeah. Because like, because they obviously, the reason that
what's he doing, bleeding out of his eyes?
Yeah, not
you,
good.
You would like to see a vet about that.
Well, that's because they're worried that they're just like, I thought it was just fun and rainbows on your Instagram and stuff.
Imagine what having a baby's like.
I know. It's mad. It is like absolutely mad. I went over my friends recently and like his baby is lovely. Obviously is not taking social distancing seriously because he's two. Because he's like
one of those, is he?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had a t-shirt. He's had a t-shirt that says scamdemic on it.
His first word was plandemic.
he's really into dinosaurs. So I like him already. And I bought him this, it's a children's book, but it's a children's book retelling of Jurassic Park. And it's really lovely illustrated and stuff cute. Like that. And they have like scenes from the film redone. It's very strange that it exists. It's
for everyone. Really.
How do they get around some of the more gruesome?
It's gone. There's about four scenes in it.
I think you should teach kids about death.
Well, he just, like my mate Liam just showed his kid the that Netflix Jurassic World thing, and he put it on, and he was just like, "It's meant to be all right." And he put it on, and he was just like, "It's just like all the dinosaurs that he's ever seen are all happy and nice." Like there's this BBC CBB show about this man who works in the Natural History Museum. I've got to show you the clips because I watched loads of it with Luca the other day, and it's like this mad thing where it's got better budget than Doctor Who. Like, it looks better than Doctor Who. And it's like, he goes back in time and all these dinosaurs are there and stuff like that. But they're all, like, normal dinosaurs. They don't... Whereas, like, obviously, the faces and the expressions on Jurassic World dinosaurs, they look fucking evil. Like,
yeah.
Like, Blue looks fucking insane. Like, they all... Like, the T-Rex. Yeah, exactly. All of the Velociraptors look like they're just, like, evil things. So he's a bit shaken up by that. But yeah, even like then, I was with him, and it was like, because I read a book to him and I watched the show with him. Then we were trying to have dinner. He was just like, he wouldn't let go of my neck, and he was just like, he just wanted to be on me.
Think so you're a stegosaurus.
Yeah. So I had to like, and they were just like, sorry. I was like, no, he's fine, just leave him. And he was just like, just talking in my ear. And it was really cute, I loved it. And then afterwards, my mate and I went to the pub, and I was like, is he like that all the time? He's like that when I'm editing, because he's an editor. And he's like, I'm just sitting there, and I've just got him just telling me stories, but the stories are not words, so it's just like, and he's just like, it is beautiful, but when you got it for like 6 hours a day, he was just like, I'm basically having to be awake for like 20 hours every day, and it's just like, I personally, that creates guilt, because
it's like, you can think that's really cute, but also you do need to do other stuff, and you shouldn't feel bad about that.
I don't know how well that I would cope at all with that. I just think like everything that we do now, if you add a baby into that, yes, obviously we would make it work, but God, how hard is that gonna be? I'm
getting the snip.
Yeah. Just in case.
I was gonna say, that's why I barely talk to my son. Honestly. Yeah. It's too hard.
That's why you don't go back to Northern Ireland that much.
Yeah, now that you're a success, you get home. There's a lot of little blonde babies.
Oh, little Rory Powers is coming out of the cliffs.
Just like
it's your son, Jory.
He skateboards in.
The little can of Monster.
Yeah, with a little thing on the top.
Well, that brings us lovely on to this week's Ming and Ill Fair Play. I have thoughts and feelings about this one, let me see.
Okay.
Ming and Ill Fair Play. We have a beautiful collie Springer cross called Dottie. Lovely name. We love her to bits, and she gets free roam of the house, lounges on the sofa, lays in our bed. Nothing is off limits. When I do the washing up, I do her bowl last with a special brush, just for her bowl. Mm-hmm. I dry it with kitchen roll. My filthy husband also washes the bowl last, but uses the same cloth that we use for our washing up. The final stomach turning act comes when he dries the bowl up with a tea towel. The same tea towel used to dry our plates, cutlery, etc. Fucking buzzing, no? Is that minging or fair play?
Oh, I've got a very... I think there's a finer point in that, isn't there? If it's properly cleaned, isn't it clean by the time it gets to the tea towel for the drying?
There you go.
It is, Should be. I think so it's one of those things where it's like, it's just the mental thought of like touching your food tea cloth with the same tea cloth that's been used to clean a dog bowl. Yeah. Even though the dog bowl
not to clean it, dry it.
Dry it. Not okay.
Is the idea that there's going to be germs on it that like fairy liquid can't get rid of? Because cocoa does
germs that fairy liquid can't get rid of? No. That's not what the adverts tell you, huh?
Because cocoa has her own little brush. She obviously, like when we wash her bowls and stuff, that gets washed by itself. But like I use a fork. Cocoa has her own fork as well. But I have just used, now and again, when I haven't been able to find it early in the morning, I have just used the normal fork.
You make it sound like she's got her own fork when she
gets the food out.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just touching food. That's sterile and it's food. Yeah, it's dog food. But that doesn't bother
also,
me whatsoever.
Our dogs eat the same food.
Yeah.
That food is amazing.
It's better than some of my food.
Yeah.
Nothing in there that is, again, that's pure psychological. So you look at the ingredients of that, it's lamb mint, it's carrots, it's peas. It's like, yeah.
When I was back in Northern Ireland, my friend threw this friggin' wild house party that got mad out of control. At like 7 in the morning, everyone that was still there, obviously just like...
Is this where Little Jory came from?
They just like destroyed the
little
house.
Little Jory won.
Like looking for like anything they could eat.
Right.
And when we were cleaning up the next day, someone had basically gone into the dog food and not realized and eaten like a ton of... It wasn't wet food, but it was like the biscuits that are like chicken flavor and stuff.
I don't know if that works.
Shaped like little bones. It's like, how did you not know? I mean, it's all...
They thought they were like biscuits.
Savory biscuits.
I mean, they are.
People are just pissed, like grabbing anything. But I think you would be able to tell if it's got like a picture of a big smiling dog on the front.
And it's in the shape of a fucking bone.
Yeah, exactly.
How much human food is in the shape of a bone? Not much.
I think maybe, obviously, eating dog, it is obviously for dogs.
Yes.
But I wonder if that comes from a time, you know, in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they parody it. But maybe like, way back when, dog food was shit food.
Yeah, it was awful.
Whereas now, dogs are quite pampered.
Yeah.
I think dog food now, or the food we give our dogs,
cocoa just
really
eats normal
nice
food, yeah.
It's just cooked in, yeah, it's just it's meat and vegetables.
Yeah,
that
doesn't
freak me out too much using the drying cloth. Maybe more so with like if it was just chucked in with the regular washing.
Yeah.
Not because of the food or ramen so much, but more because like he puts his face in anything on the floor.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So there's more what he's picked up
off
his face and then put in the bowl, I think.
Yeah, that's true. It's a hard one. I don't think it's fair play, but I don't think it's minging, but we got to come down on one of them.
Yeah, I think it would come down to what would you do?
Are we just talking about the drying?
Well, okay, so we're going to split it up then, are we? So...
I don't want to like exonerate something I think is actually minging.
So my filthy husband, this is the two things. My filthy husband washes the bowl last.
It's a loaded start.
But uses the same cloth that we use for our washing up.
Oh, so...
I think you should use different cloth for washing the dog stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So we're saying that is definitely minging.
Yeah.
But what is maybe fair play then, I'm definitely saying this is fair play.
She thinks this is worse.
The final stomach turning act comes when he dries the bowl up with a tea towel, the same tea towel used to dry our plates, cutlery, etc.
I think if the bowl has been thoroughly cleaned,
you
can dry that with the same cloth.
I'm fine with that.
So what part do you think is gross?
Just using the dishwasher rag or the brush in the sink
to clean everything
up
to clean the bowl.
Like, got it. I don't think it's the worst thing.
No.
I'd be all right with it doing it with the ramen, to be honest. But I can see that's more minging.
Yeah.
Because that thing is getting dog food and dog flex and stuff like that.
It's more just like the other stuff ramen picks up. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing. Well, I don't do it. So obviously I do think it's like slightly minging.
Yeah.
I think if you properly clean it with like boiling water and like fairy liquid and stuff, if you clean it, you can dry that with any tea towel.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
I'm on the same page there. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Because that should hypothetically be a clean item.
Yeah. Okay. So we're saying minging for the rag, fair play for the tea towel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
We get through a lot of big questions on this.
It's good,
tough,
yeah.
Tough questions.
Including this one. This is the final one for this week then. It says, Ming and of Fair Play. I was recently the beneficiary of an unexpected gift from above. I was playing hacky sack with my friends during a bachelor party pub crawl.
Dangerous sport.
And the sack happened to swish straight, nothing but net, into my tasty IPA. After we all had a good laugh, I fished it out, plopped the soggy mess on the ground, and continued to drink my drink. Ming in or fair play? What's a hacky sack made out of?
It's like a little bean bag. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like people are kicking it.
Yeah.
It's by definition, it's been hacked.
Yeah.
The sack. So it's going to be carrying.
That's
yeah.
pretty Ming in.
I think that's pretty gross. For the, like, what was a pint? £4, £5 He's probably already had a bit of it as well.
But this is what I wanted to introduce into this, though. So he was on a bachelor party pub crawl. I'm weirdly would have been fine with him going necking it, or someone daring him to neck it and him necking it. But he just continues to drink it like normally. That is more Ming to me than just like necking it as like a joke.
It's less appropriate for the occasion.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm with Paris. Just buy a new pint.
Yeah.
It's like that thing that
it's probably a lot
I don't
of
know if people still do it, but they used to do it when I was at university, which now that I think about it, it kind of makes my stomach.
I think I know what you're gonna say, yeah.
Is Save the Queen.
Yeah.
Where it's someone would put a coin basically, like whatever it is, in your glass, and you have to drink the entire thing. But you, like, the more you think about where that coin has been, and like, it's so disgusting to think that that will be in your glass while you're drinking. Oh my God, it just turns my stomach.
The worst one I've ever had with that is we had a weekend away with some guys I do NFL fantasy with. And at the beginning of the weekend, which is Friday, so this goes Friday to Monday this weekend. At the beginning of the weekend, we were all given these little rubber cowboys. And they basically, what they do is you have to, every drink that we were drinking, we had to drink out of a cup or glass. And every drink that we had, this little rubber cowboy had to be perched on the end of it, because that's what they're for. They're kind of like little mug toppers
drink
or glass
toppers.
And the idea, if anybody knocked yours in, you had to neck whatever you were drinking. And also, if at any point when we shouted something out, you didn't hold your cowboy up, the last person to do that had to do like a pint, whatever time it was and whatever we were doing. So it's like you had to have this thing on you constantly.
Yeah.
So in 4 days, and we went out and we played sports and stuff like that, in 4 days, those things must have been fucking disgusting. And also, they've been in different drinks.
Oh. Fuck it, and
stuff like that. It's like that is definitely Ming in.
It's also because you see it. I was just thinking about this. I think this applies to a lot of the Ming in and fair plays that we do, because we're just talking about like pints in pubs and dishwasher cloths, like clean stuff. I was like, in most places you go to and you get a glass, you don't know how that's being cleaned. You don't know what's been used to dry.
There's
that.
Like an unbroken
I know there's
trust.
Like nice pubs where they have those like industrial cleaners and dryers.
Yeah.
Some of them can be dried with any old rag that's just shut behind the bar. But it's better not to know. Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. The other thing, you enter into a almost like an unspoken thing. It's like, you're not going to tell me.
Pact.
Like, we're just going to, this is going to be fine.
A little hygiene pack.
Absolutely, yeah.
Love that this guy's whipping out the hacky sack on a stag.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
So I'm going to come down Minging on this because he drank it normally.
Yeah.
If
he'd necked it. You could have got away with that, the spirit of it.
If someone had dared him to neck it or whatever.
I carried it over the
I kind of would have been fair play for it because it's a bachelor party.
It's funny how that only applies to like drinking. Like if you dropped your sandwich on the floor and everyone was like, if you pick it up and go and eat it like a Subway full.
Well, I can see that happening on a stag do though. Like she was,
That's so weird. It's like, there's not a lot of things you could do.
What's
that?
Like, think about what that mentality is. On a stag do, if you fuck up, you just have to like indulge in it.
I've been on some bad stag do's where it's like, we invented this stupid
game. I'm sure
game.
Someone will tweet you if you
have. Yeah, this guy will, don't worry. Called Tell Them. And I've definitely told you guys about it, but I'm not sure if it's on a podcast. And it was basically like, I think there's like 14 of us on this. Obviously, just a lot of bullshit being chatted. And at any point, if like you said something about somebody else,
yeah,
in the bar, and someone went, "Tell them,"
oh,
You had to.
Oh, that's awful. You had to just go tell. How often were you just talking about other people in the bar?
Well, I guess like lots of guys were talking about girls, so that was happening. So like you, and you basically,
or girls that were in the bar.
In the bar. Oh. So like you'd have to go over and be like, "Hi, sorry," and like you're so absolutely embarrassed, and you're like, "You're going, I'm really sorry. I was just telling my friend that I thought you were really fit. Blah 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 blah, whatever." Or you had to neck a pint. So most of the time, people were just necking a full pint straight away, no matter what time it was. And that was the worst thing. It only happened to me once, and it was on the Monday that we were leaving. Our bus that was meant to be taking us back didn't turn up, so we were all lost. We were just like, how are we going to get home? Trying to work it out. And we were having breakfast, and it was like 9:15, and this guy walked in who was like, had the tightest vest on, was like, he could, like, you know those like guys who work out so much, they don't have a neck, and he could like barely move.
Was it worth it? He walked in,
and I was just sitting there, just like, I was so hungover, I just wanted to die. And I was so hungover, and he walked in, and I went to my mate, I was like, reckon he's been on the roids. And he just went, him. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I can't, if I drink a pint, I'm just gonna spoil. My day's already spoiled, but I'm going to be sick everywhere, and I'm afraid of being sick. So I was like, I just had to go over to him. I was like, hi, mate, how you doing? I was just saying to my friend, do you reckon he's on the roids? And he looked at me, and like square in the eyes, and I was like, oh, he's going to fucking deck me. And then he looked over to like, obviously like 12 boys really hungover, just like, oh, like that. And he just went, and like tapped me on the shoulder. Like, I was like, oh, thank fuck for that.
He nicely read the room.
Because that could have gone really badly. But luckily, but
even a tapping on you hurt you. Bruised you.
I'll dislocate my shoulder. Yeah, never been the same since. But yeah, that's some good stuff this week. Really nice podcast that was. If you want to get in touch with us, you can bit.ly/shieldup, SSU. Remember to send us in all your spooky stuff, because we're going to do a big spooky special.
Woo!
That'll be episode 92.
Fudge, I need to get my friggin' Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what you're doing yet?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Sort of, no. Yeah. What? Oh, crap. Yeah. Okay.
And we'll see you next week.